Turn with me back to John 6. The Gospel of John. And in the 6th chapter, we stopped off last time at verse 11 of John 6, but I want to go, since it's been a month now, because we missed 3 weeks probably in a row with all this stuff. And, I want to go back and pick up with a couple of 3 verses before we start at verse 12 in chapter 6. And, to kind of get us back at speed, I want to read, John 6, 1 and 2 and then go down to verse 9, and pick up with, 3 verses there, because that's where we had gotten to in our study. In John 6, we had been in John 5, you know, and, John 5 dealt with the situation that, I had heard, years ago, but I didn't put the date down. And it started with John being in the dumps with the hierarchy of the Jews, there. And from verse 17 of chapter 5, they started trying to take Christ down. And of course, this had been promised to God from the Son and the Father together. They agreed that the Son would come one day and take care of the sins of the people. He done that even before we had an earth. And,
hard to catch God off guard.
Yeah. So it's this was a situation, you know, that's been in the making for all these aeons or years or what that had passed. And it really blows my mind sometimes to realize that, God deals in the past, in the present, and in the future in the same kind of ways, because he's got something for every part of that needs to be taken care of. This is part of it. When his Son come on the scene and began to preach, that really got things stirred up for those people. And I'll just read you 6:1-2. And it says, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And, I guess if we were over there and looking at it, it would probably be more like a lake to us, because it's not all that great big, but they call it a sea. And they fish in it. And I'm not sure if it's salty or not, but it could be. Because the Dead Sea is there too, in close around, so, which is very salty. And it said, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, talking about Jesus, they saw his miracles where he did on them that were diseased. So, they were blown away by a lot of this stuff that Jesus performed there. And, he began to get what I call a star following. It'd be like, somebody would get a hit song or get really big in our movies now or whatever and get a following. And, so these people, they started following to see if all this, if they could either figure it out or what was going on. And, or if what they had heard from some scripture, you know, was coming to coming in to bearing, and it certainly it was. Then we went down through and they was a group of them there, and it got to be about 5,000. Well, that's a pretty good little crowd for that part of the world, I guess, that day.
Yeah, even by today's standards, 5,000 people, a lot of people.
Yeah. And, some of them had got in a boat and come across part of this lake. I'll call it a lake. And so some of them had boats back behind them. And so this Jesus was going to feed this multitude of people, but it wasn't right at the lake, but it was fairly close to it. Now, I want to go down to verse 9 in John 6. I want to read you 9 through 12 because, or, yeah, 9 through 11. And it says this, in verse 6, it said, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." And he says, and whenever you, this was Andrew that we're talking about here, Peter's brother. So this kid's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And he's looking up at this crowd that's gathering here. And he says, you know, they haven't eaten. So what, you know, what about this? Is this not going to be a dent in the thing? Yeah, they could eat this up in just a few minutes. But we realize that we're not talking here now about normal situation. And verse 10 said, "And Jesus said, make the men sit down." And it says, "Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Well, here's a situation that creates another learning curve for these folk, because here these have been blessed by God. Just a few loaves and 2 fishes. And so, and it says, "And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Because here is a gift of God that needs to be fully consumed. Okay, you got that in your mind. Now, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I don't know where they got the baskets. It doesn't say where they got the baskets, but God provides for all these things in a way that we don't need to question, really. Because we see the emphasis and the greatness of our Lord at work, and the Son too, the Father and the Son. This had been in the making, as all these other miracles that were going on. And it said, they had filled the 12 baskets in verse 11. And that's where we got to. So I'm in the verse 12 where I left off last time. So 12 goes on. And so I left off and I said, well, we'll talk next time about, how all this went over. And so here we are. He said, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Well, guess what? When they got the baskets from wherever they got them from and however it came about, we don't know. And that's not really the important thing, but it is. Because each one of the disciples were going to fill a basket for himself and eat it later because they had to make the trip back up the lake that evening.
So they had a lot of leftovers. Yeah.
Well, so there was nothing going to be wasted here. God has already approved this food and it's enough for them for that day, and it's enough for the disciples the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So you see, you can't get ahead of God. He knows what's taking place. And it says, therefore they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments, one for each apostle. And the 5 barley loaves which remained even and above unto them which had eaten. Meaning that, they had already been fed. And, that Greek word is Bibasco. And it was, to feed them, or to browse on the food in the open. So nobody had too much, but everybody was sated. Everybody had food. Okay, and then we get down to 14 and it says, those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, this he said of a truth that prophets that should come into the world. So, they remembered back. This is a supplementary that was put in here by John that had been foretold. I think it was in Matthew 5 or 6, maybe that, that Jesus would do miracles, and he was going back with them, all of them together, to the places that they had been before and their ministry when they started. And Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. So they went to 6 different locations, but he didn't send them to the Samaritans. And now they did make a journey down there. And guess what? We spent some time in there talking with the Samaritan woman and talking with the people that were there. Because Christ didn't feel like that they could handle what they would see down there dealing with them people that had gone astray from God's word. And so he wanted to be with them whenever they went back to these places and to where they could confront the idolatry and the stuff that they would get involved in there, and that he could supply, if it wasn't supplied already, that he could supply the ways and means for all this to be taken care of. And so this John had said this, and Jesus, I guess, reaffirmed it. This is of a truth that prophets should come into the world and do these wonderful things that could be seen. And so in verse 15, it says, and when Jesus therefore perceived, and Jesus can do all this perceiving. He can foresee things that are coming that have already, that's already there and ready to take place. So I don't look at these 12 baskets as not being there. I think in my book, they might have been sitting somewhere back out of sight until they were needed. And all of a sudden they were brought in and they was enough for the job to be done. That's the way things gets done when miracles and wonders and signs takes place. Okay? So Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, because the people, some of them, now there's a lot of the Jews, buddy, that you have to hit them over the head to get them to understand some things, but then some of them have heard and it's in their mind set that there's somewhere this is going to take place. Maybe. This may be it. This may be the one that the people back in the Old Testament said, you know, was going to come, because a lot of those people that were judges and prophets were saying things that they didn't truly understand and really couldn't see the need for, maybe for this at that time. And it says in verse 16, and when even was come, or evening was upon them, had now come, the disciples went down to the sea or the lake, and entered into a ship, which I would call a boat, because they were rowing this thing. There was no other propulsion but the strong arm of the paddle. And if there was 13 of them in a boat counting Jesus, they would have at least 12 paddles in the water, I think. I don't think it asked Jesus to do any paddling, because he didn't have to. I mean, you look at it that way. So they... And the boat was called let's see, 16. Let me turn the page. But now here we're looking at a miracle. Anyway, this is a miracle that's going on. Smack, they call this, it's a fishing boat. It's a smack, or it is a pow line. It was a normal vessel. It wasn't a normal vessel to carry passengers. It wasn't made for that. But there were some over there that come in and boats that were a little larger, because they had gathered together and maybe hired a bigger boat and they'd come across so they could come down and see this Jesus that was going on. But now the disciples, some of them were fishermen already, so they had their own boats. And, or some of them did, for sure. But they had entered into a smack. It wasn't a normal vessel to carry passengers, and went over the sea toward Capernaum on the Sea of Chinnereth. And it was now dark, or already night. And Jesus was not one of them. See, Jesus was not in the boat with them when they left. And these other people were leaving too, and they seen them in the boat. They didn't see Jesus, and they were questioning themselves about this and others. Then we get down to verse 18. But we go back to 17 and see that it was dark and Jesus had not come to them, and it doesn't say if they had any kind of lights. And they were going a total of about 7 miles up that lake in the dark. And guess what? Satan brings about some gust of wind. That always seems to happen when Jesus is doing something that Satan can't wait to step in and cover up the good things that are going on. And it says in 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Well, you know, God can control the wind. The sun can control the wind. So I guess Satan can also, in the sense, control the wind. Because, you know, I think a lot of times the tornadoes and things are maybe things of Satan. They call it an act of God. Satan is not God. Never has been. And never will be.
Not even wants to be. Not even a little view.
And he thinks he can be.
Yeah.
And he deals with this in that way. Sometimes we really can't do nothing about it. But I want to ask you a question about these winds. Especially tornadic winds. You know, you can go back and there'll be cameras in these places where they have these storms. And you can see where it'll tear down maybe a half a mile wide long of things. And there'll be one or two back there that storm won't touch or can't touch.
Yeah.
And I like to look at it as can't touch, because maybe the word of God is in that house, or salvation lives in that house. I don't know. I don't know if people really think about that much, but I do. And you know, there's things that just passes over. These things gets blown away. And I think back to the time that I went up here when they was building the lake up here and paid $45 for a 6 or 7 room house and moved it over here to where I close to where I live now and was gonna reach it. And the guy charged me $840 to move it over there. So I had less than $900 in a 5-room house. I tore 2 rooms off of it so the man could haul it on the roof. And tore a chimney down. We went over there and put it up on blocks. And guess what? We ain't had too many tornadoes around here in a long time, but It's rare when we have a tornado, but guess what? Went down there one day, and the house was laying on the ground, and the ground wasn't level. And I had a D6 and a D8 crawler at my shop working on them, And I carried one down there and I hooked the cable to it and I thought, well, I'll see if I can get it squared up a little bit. And that didn't happen. I went and got the other one, carried it down there, and I could have destroyed the house in 5 minutes with either one of them. And I tried to get that thing squared up and I couldn't do it. And I said, well, I took the tractors back up to the shop. My neighbor come out there and he said, Cecil, you didn't do no good with your house, did you? I said, no. He said, well, what are you going to do with it? And I said, Woodrow, I don't know. I said, but I've got my money in it. And it's down there and I can't get it up to where I can get it squared back up, straightened back up. With them two big tractors. And he said, well, what do you take for it? And I said, what I got in it. I'll take, if you want to buy it, you're the man I need to talk to. And we made an agreement right there and he got ready. He said, I'm going to extend my house. So I'm going to use the wood out of it to do that with. And he said, you know, that's small money for me to get more rooms on my house. So that was another miracle, but it was a miracle for me. But now I wasn't a believer at that minute. So my house went down and Satan showed me what he could do for me because I was still coming. You know, thinking about doing it. I did for a good little bit before I really got involved, but that's neither here nor there. But so that worked out. So the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And so when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that was about 2.5 miles. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, full stop. And were afraid. What in the world were they afraid of? This is the disciples. This is the 12 that had seen him do things. And had been with him around him for a year or so already. Could he not walk the water? He did it more than once. Because Peter was in the boat one time when he saw him coming. He said, Lord, I want to come to you. And he said, come. And Peter started and he started sinking. Because he didn't really know where he could or not, so evidently he couldn't. But Jesus could. And it said, these men in the boat were afraid, and he said unto them, it is I. Be not afraid. Well, he was telling them the truth. He has control. He has control over the elements. He has control over all things concerning the earth, even down to what holds us here on the ground. Because if it wasn't, and I remember Lori's daddy saying, well, if we wouldn't pull down to this situation like this, we'd just be floating around. We might not even be able to get home anymore. We'd be so far away or whatever. And I thought, well, that makes sense. You know, that makes sense. But anything When God created something and Christ did it for him, it was perfect. So we didn't have to worry about floating away. We didn't have to worry about walking on the water, but we can't walk on the water either without some extra way of doing it. But he could. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. It said, then they willingly received him in the ship. We'll call it a boat again. And that's full stop. Now think about this for a minute. Stop, look, and listen. Cause that's what a colon is. It's a therefore. And immediately the ship or the fishing boat was at the land where they went. The wind has pushed it right up where they could get right out of the boat, right on the land. Didn't have to get wet.
And it looks like they didn't have to row the boat anymore either. It just was there.
It was there. It was there.
The minute he stepped on it, they were where they were supposed to be. Yeah.
They could go at the speed of light if the Son of God needed them to go there that way. Okay. And immediately the ship was at the land. Whatever they lacked when he got in the boat, boom, it was there. Well, there was questions. In the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one wherein his disciples had entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples in the boat, because they call it a boat now, but that his disciples were gone away alone. So there was enough people there that saw all this when they paddled off and Jesus wasn't with them. Word got around into that 5,000 people. Well, where was the Son of God? If he was the Son of God, where was he? And what happened? Verse 23. And here's another parenthetical insertion. Now there's an insertion here that gives you the answer. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, and after the Lord had given thanks. So I guess they looked at that as being their miracle. And it was truly a miracle. And it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, then also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. They wanted to find out where he went. They were so wool gathered at this point that they had to know what took place. Did he get caught up in a storm and drown? No. That was not going to happen. Because he had work to do yet. But they just couldn't figure it out. They were so kind of deep within their own theories that they couldn't see the forest for looking at the trees. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum. They wanted to find out. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea or the lake, then they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? How did you get here, basically, is what they're asking him. They've seen the miracles. They've eaten the food. They're filled in their bellies. And they got ready to go, and some of them got in boats, and some of them were standing there watching. And part of them went, and Jesus didn't go with them. And also, when they get there the next morning, he was there, and he said, well, how did you get here? They still can't see. Yep, and in the woods themselves. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles in 6:1-2 that I read, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That should have been all you needed to understand, that you were dealing with the Son of God that can do all things.
Yeah, he said, you're here for the wrong reasons. You're just looking for another full belly.
Yeah. So they saw the miracles. They come on their own. They eat things that they would not have had if he had not been there. They seen him leave. They didn't see Jesus leave, but they couldn't figure out how he got there. Couldn't figure out that he had the strength or the ability to do these things, because they look around and say, no man has that. Well, they wasn't dealing with a man. They were dealing with the Son of God. He said, you did eat of the loaves and were filled. The food went with the boat. What was left of it. Now, that's verse 26. Let me catch up with my notes here. Okay. From verse 27, when they ask him this, from verse 27 to verse 36 goes together. It is part of the way the Word of God is put together. And so we're going to look at 27, because we've already read 26. Because this is a sign. Now 27 says this. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, full stop. Well, why do we need to stop and think about this a little bit? He's talking meat that perishes and meat that endures. Okay. We know that if it isn't eaten, it perishes. But if it's eaten, it's used for food and it perishes that way too. It says, what? the Son of God or the Son of Man shall give to you, full stop, for him that God hath the Father sealed. Oh, wait a minute. God has sealed his Son. Aeons ago to do these things that he's doing now. All these things that he's doing, he has the abilities and the wherewith to do them all as he comes to them, just like he went to the pool to get the man that had been there 38 years. He knew the man had been there 38 years. He had that sealed in his mind that he was there and that he could do it. And he said, okay, get your bed up and leave. Oh, that's whenever they got ready to do him under, because you broke the law and you caused this man to break the law. A man that's been laying there on his bed for 38 years and then he could get up and walk. That didn't mean anything. Yes, it meant something. It meant that he did that for him so the other people could see what he could do for him, because he was not whole. And that's why Jesus was there preaching and teaching. He was there to make people whole. He came and these people were already ready. And they're changing their life. Because when Christ asked the man at the pool, are you ready to be healed? He said, yeah, I've been here 38 years. Well, how much longer do you need to wait? Boom. Didn't even have to touch him. Didn't say he touched him. Didn't have to get in the water. He just told him, take your bed up and go on. My goodness gracious. People are foolish. Well, he talks about meat here. This is what Christ talked about when he asked the woman for a drink of water at the well. And she says, why are you sitting here? You don't have any way of getting it. He said, well, if you knew who I was, lady, you could have everlasting. You'd have water that you didn't need to drink anymore. Well, he's telling these people, well, if you understand who I am and what has been written about me and what I can do for you, that you wouldn't need any of this old meat that perishes, but you could have the meat of God. God could supply you with all the protein that you needed. Wow. Man, the situations that these people were in, they were in bad shape. He says in verse 27, let me read it to you. Oh, I've already done that. Let me read 28. Well, let's go over this again, look at 27. There's a good bit here. It says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, but labor for the latter. You got to work for the day to day than for the former. And And so there's notes here that, on 27 there, that says, labor for the latter rather than for the former, for heritosis of degrees, that's appendage 6. And the Greek for that is brosis. And that's the act of eating, Matthew 6, 19 and 20. And it also says that it will rust, not bromate. It's not food. Some of this is not food. And it says, it endureth. And endureth is the word meno. Means same as dwelleth. Like if someone asks you where you live, where is your meno? Where do you dwelleth? And it's, let's see the note on abide on 122. So dwelleth and abide is the same as endureth or the word meno. And then it talks about the Son of Man here because he talks about the Son of Man or himself is appendix 98. And it's Roman numeral 16, XVI. Him, God, hath God the Father sealed for him. This is the one even the Father, God, sealed. There was no other like the Son of God. Because he had been sealed now. When Paul come along, you know, Paul had some of these attributes, but Paul was come to finish what the one that had been sealed to do, the Father didn't allow the Son to do that because
for the body's sake,
he had finished the work that he was supposed to do. And he went back up into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's seated there for a reason because, you know, these things are done for a purpose. And so the seal of God can be whatever it is that he wants accomplished is the seal of God. Now, he has allowed Satan to do things, which Satan has took great advantage of, but that's going to be taken care of by the seal of the one that's supposed to have it. Verse 28, we're getting close to the end of our time here. Verse 28 says this, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, they were beginning to see a little bit about their situation that they themselves are in. What do we do that we might do the works of God? Jesus has an answer for that because, in verse 29, he says this. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent.
Whole message of the gospel of God right there.
And just
Reading
just a sentence. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is exactly what he wanted them to get and to understand. So let's do verse 30. Then said they unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work?
They just had seen it.
He had just told them that, and they
missed the whole
aspect thing. Of it.
Yeah.
I got a little more time, so I'll go another verse or two, okay? They said this to him, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So he's trying to get that straight in their minds. Well, it's right there, right now, in front of them, on their mind, and they still are looking at the forest and can't see the tree.
Talk about a hard-headed bunch of people.
Yeah.
This is a hard-headed bunch of people.
Yeah, you know, when we was looking back months or so ago at some of these things that were on television, and they could not grasp it. They just absolutely, you had to hit them over the head. When the woman went from the well and told them everything that Christ had told her, and they said, well, we'll go see for ourselves. They could not believe that.
No.
They could not see it. It is so simple in the things that God gave to them. To grasp this.
They just continually look past it.
And they just look beyond it. And it went over their heads.
That's a good point.
They could not see it. And this is another reason why I wanted to continue in this line. Because it's there in print that they could not and did not do what God wanted them to do with what he had given them to do with. And that's at the end of Acts, he pronounced gloom and doom on them by them not accepting this.
They were standing there right in front of the bread from heaven and had no idea.
Couldn't get it. I just can't believe this, God. I just can't believe it. Well, when it's there, that plain, you need to believe it.
Amen.
But look at what Satan has put in front of all these people all these years.
Blinds.
He's pawned up and covered up all the good things that God did through his son. And they still can't dig in the pile to get what they need to get out of it.
Amen. So,
this is why we have a new covenant. This is why they did not accept the things from God that he had given freely. And when he come out of the tomb, and he stayed there with them for 43 days. I don't know where they seen him come out of the tomb, but he come out of the tomb. He was with them for the 43 days. And he told them, he said, you stay here until the holy day comes and the Holy Spirit. The Comforter will come. And that was the Comforter because even they couldn't see Jesus as being the Comforter. One they could see, But yet, God sent one that they couldn't see, that would indwell them and maybe would lead some of them to come to the throne of God, to the truth of God. So let's leave it to that. We'll pick up with it next time. I've got more notes here, but we're still in the progress of this thing. And it goes on, but that, in John, you know, when you look at John, you wouldn't really think there's all this information here, but it truly is. And then some, because it's building up to the point when Christ would have to go be nailed to that cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in the grave. He came out of the grave. He stayed with them for 43 days. A lot of them seen him. He went back up into heaven, and the question was, the man in white said, "Well, why are you standing here gazing into the heavens?" He said, "As he came, he went, but he'll come back."
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, he's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Not going to be pleading with him.
Yeah.
A different approach.
Yeah, and it'll be a little different situation when he does come back this time again. So,
thanks, Bob.
He has did what he's supposed to do.
Amen. Good study.